people straight to Calvary and straight to Him. With today being Thanksgiving Sunday, I call it our Sunday before Thanksgiving, I want us to spend some time looking at a recipe for Thanksgiving. If you have your Bibles, if you would open them to the book of Psalm and would turn there to Psalm 9 this morning. Psalm 9. King David wrote the psalm, and he wrote it after the Lord had done a lot of things for him. You know, we often look at King David as a mighty, big, great king that sat on a throne. But you know, before that, he had people constantly chasing him. He had enemies. Believe maybe we could see that in our life. Well, we don't have necessarily enemies coming after us with guns, but we have enemies coming after us in the dark world, in the devil and his demons, and they're real, and they're active, and they're out there. But you know, what God's done for us changes everything. And I want us to think about this idea of a recipe. You know, there's steps in a recipe and things that you do. But you know, thinking of Thanksgiving time, pecan pie comes to mind. And I believe we would probably all in here agree that there is a difference between a pecan pie and a good pecan pie. Amen? There's a difference. I've had some that the cat might not even want. But there is a difference between that pecan pie and a good one. And you can't just make up a pecan pie on your own without the knowledge of mixing and baking. I could go in there and make you a pecan pie, and it'd probably be okay. Some of you ladies in here can go in there and make a pecan pie, and we'd have a great pecan pie. And I want us to look at this recipe for a great Thanksgiving, and you would have to say, to make something, you need to know the ingredients, right? And that's what we're going to look at today. It would not be a good pecan pie if you placed bananas in the mix in place of pecans. Wouldn't even be a pecan pie. But my family and I, we enjoy watching those bacon championships. I don't know if any of you watch those on TV. Waylon and Nicole enjoy them a lot more than I do, but I enjoy them. But you see these people, they go in there, and you think that from watching it, just right off of the bat, they're given some ingredients, and they have to take and make something out of that. Or they're told to make something, and they just get together, and they start throwing things in there, and it looks like they just compile it all, and it all comes out together. But if you listen in their conversations, you'll hear them talking about a recipe that they knew. And they fell back on a recipe that mom had taught them or grandmom had taught them. One that they had done time and time again. And they know how to do it because they keep doing it. But you pick up on that idea of a recipe. And to make a good pecan pie, you need to follow a recipe. Today I want to give you a recipe for Thanksgiving. Don't worry. It only has 4 steps. So anyone can do it. And even memorize it. The recipe is for giving thanks to the Lord. And the recipe I want to share with you is handed down through generation after generation within our family, given to us by the penmanship of King David, but under the inspiration and the telling of Holy Spirit. And I believe if we follow that recipe, we're going to be in good shape for a good Thanksgiving. Do you agree with me this morning? Amen? So let's look at that. Psalm 9. Would you stand with me as we look into God's Word? I am very keenly aware that we do have a Thanksgiving dinner afterwards. Some of your stomachs might be grumbling. And I want to tell you this, like I heard at one of the conventions I was at a couple of weeks ago, the pastor that was speaking before supper time said, "I know that I'm the only thing standing between you and supper." I'm not going to be long today. Hopefully, we're just going to follow Holy Spirit, but I got 2 verses for you. Let's look at Psalm 9, beginning in verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Father God, we, your servants, are listening today. Father, in this world that is so filled with negativity, Father, it weighs on us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us today, Lord, to see through that and to take this recipe to heart, Lord, in giving thanks to you. Father, open our eyes. Speak to us. Speak through me. Use me this morning. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever had some good cooking from your mom or a grandmother or someone close that you cared for and you asked, why is this so good? I have it other places and it's not as good as this. And you hear this, it's the secret ingredient. You know what that secret ingredient they always tell you is? It's made with love, and it's made from the heart. Well, for our thanks to be good, it needs to come from the heart. The first step in the recipe to giving thanks is to give thanks with all your heart. To make that recipe, number one, we need to be totally in. You're going to do this, you need to be totally in. To have it work out, you can't be half thinking about something else and mixing stuff together. You can't be thinking about all the other stuff. We've got to be totally in on our thanksgiving to God. Remember a teacher of mine sharing one time that she was making a recipe and she put, instead of powdered sugar, she put in baking soda. She wasn't all in, and she noticed as they began to eat, people began to cover their mouths as that little, you know what happens if you have too much baking soda in your stomach. We've got to be all in. This isn't just about anything. This is about thanks to a holy God. And how I want to explain this recipe to you this morning is I want to take time and look at each of these phrases so that we understand what it was that King David was writing on there, so we understand how all of this builds on each other. You'll see in there that there are four I wills at the beginning of each step. We're going to kind of look at those, and they're each slightly different. But the first we see there is, I will give thanks. What is he talking about? It's a meaning to give praise, a confession, worship. This action is unfolding, it's ongoing. You know, we don't give praise. If it's going to be good thanksgiving and good praise to God, it doesn't just happen one time, amen? It's something that continues on. It becomes who we are. It becomes a lifestyle. And the way it's written, it's not necessarily talking about past, present, or future here, but it's talking about a habitual act, a consistency, something that we do constantly. See, a good thanksgiving is constant. It becomes who we are. It tells us there that I will give thanks to the Lord. This Lord in your Bibles is probably in all capitals, signifying that it is the proper name. It's the name that God gave the Israelites to call him. It would be known today as Yahweh. That name was so highly revered by the Israelites, they wouldn't even speak it. When I took Hebrew, we were not allowed to even say it. If they were, for whatever reason, and is transcribing scripture, and they were to write it, they would stop before they got to it. They would go and cleanse themselves. They would get a new pen. They would write the word. They would put the pen down. They would go back, cleanse themselves, and grab another pen. They held it to high regard. That's who our thanksgiving is going to. It's going to the Lord or to Yahweh. And it says to do it with all of our heart. This word for heart is used 605 times in the Old Testament, and 581 of those times it's referring to the inside of the person. You've heard me talk about this. It's not the organ that's pumping the fluid, but it becomes our locus or the center. It becomes who we are. It's our thoughts, our emotions, our choices, and our knowledge. If we're going to make a great Thanksgiving to the Lord, we've got to be all in. It's got to be with all of who we are, our mind, our eyes, everything, soul, the spirit. It becomes who we are. It's got to be a type of confession. It's a worship of God. Amen. Can I see a show of hands? How many are glad God's done some for you in your life? How many of you glad God saved you? Amen. We didn't even get started there. See, there are things to give praises for, and it's saying that you will continually do this. I get up daily. I think about this all the time, and it becomes who I am, and it becomes constant. I can't do it just once because I'm so thankful. I must continue every time I talk to Him. All throughout the day, I'm thinking about this. It becomes who you are. So that's the first step. The second step in the recipe of thanksgiving to God is to tell Him of the mighty things that you are thankful for and share them with others. We have to make a choice to proclaim God's mighty acts. We have to make a choice. You know, it doesn't come natural. Look there at the second part of verse 1. It's there, here it says, "I will tell of your wonders." This "I will tell" is to make known. It's to announce. You know, it's great to be thankful for something, but does it do any good if we don't share it to who we're thankful for? God wants to hear us thank Him. He wants to hear us praise Him. It's a type of action that's within the person. And this is where the "I wills" change. It becomes what's called a volitional action. It's an action of choice. We must choose. And let me tell you, especially in this day and time, we must choose to act. And it's also a choice that's made ahead of time. I tell you, one of the greatest examples of a volitional love, a love of choice, is the love that God has for you. Do you know why that is so great? He made it in advance. God chose before He ever created you to love you. You know what's so significant about that? Because He loves you regardless of what you do. Well, some people say that means everybody gets to go to heaven. No. Sometimes there's discipline with love. There's consequences. Because of God's love, He provided a way to save us from hell. But He loves us regardless. Means we can't earn His love. We can't lose His love. We can't plead for any more of His love. His love is all in. It's a choice made ahead of time. And choosing, I tell you, these wonders to talk about His wonders and exalt in the Lord. You got to choose how you're going to respond in the future. What do I mean by that? Because this is not just a reaction. When a baby is born and that baby is hungry, what does he do? He cries, doesn't he? He's not making that choice. He don't know that he has a choice. He is reacting to a need. He's hungry. His body automatically reacts out of his nature, and he cries. Well, guess what happens, though? As he grows and as he matures, that baby learns that it can choose to cry. And when it chooses to cry, oftentimes it gets what it wants. Even after told no more than once, you get those big crocodile tears and that look just right, and somebody's going to give him. That's what this is. I will. You have to make a choice right now Get this closely. This is where it gets important. You have to make a choice right now that in life that you're going to give thanks and you're going to praise God, because you can choose to do that, but you cannot wait, because then it becomes a reaction. And why do we choose? If we've got a great Thanksgiving, we have to make the choice now, because that means, here it is, regardless of what's happening, we still give thanks to God. If I wait and I do not choose now that this is going to be who I am, when the road gets bumpy, and we all got those, amen, we go through those ups and downs, when I get to a bad point, I'm going to react, and guess what? My flesh is going to react. And I'm probably not going to be thankful. Matters of fact, I might even blame God. But we want a good Thanksgiving, right? So we have to, as he was writing, as they would have understood it, to make an intentional action you choose now. Now, I'm not saying that everything that goes on in life makes us hunky-dory. But I am saying that we can give thanks for that. And we must choose now to be glad, even in the negative time, and so that it becomes a habitual act in progress, one that continues on. Amen? Good times and bad times. It says that I will tell, I'm choosing to tell of his wonders, referred to by some as miracles. And some of your Bibles might have that, but I want to be very cautious with saying miracle. Miracle is thrown around this world way too much. Somebody driving down the road and saying, oh, did you see that miracle? Miracles do happen, church, but they're few and far between from what this world says. Because what a miracle is when God stops time and works outside of the normal workings to cause something to happen. You know what? It is precious and it is beautiful when a baby is born. But that's not a miracle. That's natural. It's the way God has designed things to happen. A miracle, Jesus walks on water. I don't know about you, I've tried it. I don't walk very well on water. The closest I've ever come was in the Dead Sea when I floated, but I still couldn't walk of water. That's a miracle. But there are miraculous things that are happening around us. There are marvelous things that God has done for us. And it's saying here that I'm going to choose right now that I'm going to tell of the wonders, of the marvelous things that God is doing. I'm going to tell them to God. I'm going to tell them to the people around me. See, God has done wonderful things for you. If you're ever in a downtime, be thankful for your salvation, church. We can start right there, but let's look at the life that we have and all that he's given. When we need to tell of his wonders in the good times and the bad times, remember him. Remember, it's a choice. It's your volition, your choice. It's about how we choose to look at things. See, remember I said you have to make a choice, and here it is. Have you ever heard anyone that gripes about their work and the situation they're in, or maybe what they have to do? And I will be the first one to tell you, there are some working conditions that are not all that great. But I choose to give thanks to the great things that God's done. Can we, instead of complaining about the work, can we thank God we have a job? Amen? Not everybody. There are people who need a job. If we're complaining about a work situation, we need to look and be thankful that we have that job. We can look at the positive side. You can choose to complain about food, the taste of the food, or the service. Be thankful you have food. There are people, even in this country and around this world, that don't know where their next meal's coming from. I would probably say and hit it pretty close to being right, none of you in here are worried where your next meal's coming from. When you go home, you're not worried. We've got ample stuff in there. I do say if you're worrying today about where your next meal's coming from, come back and eat with us because we have food back here. We can be thankful that we have food. We can complain about school, right? School's not always good. And teachers, mom, you just don't understand. Or we could be thankful that we're getting an education. There are many people who cannot. You see, it's a choice. How do we choose to see things? And we need to choose, it tells us here, to have a great Thanksgiving. I will tell of your wonders. I'm going to let God know. I'm going to tell him all the time. I'm going to tell people around me. I'm so excited what God's doing in my life. When you get an opportunity, especially now around Thanksgiving, what a great time it is to tell of the wonders of what God's done. Amen? Because he's done many of them. The third step in the recipe for Thanksgiving is to live a life of rejoicing and happiness. Here it is again. We have to make a choice to live thankful. You see our third at the beginning of verse 2. Third, I will be glad to rejoice. It's an expression. Again, here it is a choice that we're making ahead of time. Because I will tell you that sometimes in life, I might not be so glad. Amen? We ain't all perfect in here. Y'all don't look at me like that. Y'all are the same way. But we have to choose to be glad. It's our expression. We have to choose to rejoice in him. It has to be one of who he is. And let me tell you, the more you do it, the more you allow it to become who you are, it becomes who you are. And you begin to see the things, to rejoice and to be glad in. It says there that I will be glad and exalt in you. That exalt is a choice, again, a habitual act, to feel joy, to feel extreme happiness. Now here's the difference. Not everything always makes us happy, but we're always joyful. This exalt is talking about to feel that joy, to feel extreme happiness, and that will cause us then to go back and tell of his wonderful words. It will cause us to be glad, amen? In him. The fourth step in the recipe for Thanksgiving is to praise him by singing. I got in my notes here. I got this. I said, I know what some of you are thinking. Guess what? I can read your minds. I cannot sing and no one would want to hear me. That might be some of you. But let me remind you that singing and praising God is a joyful noise to him. I see nowhere in Scripture where God says you have to have a degree in music. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God says you have to sing on pitch or on key. If you have a problem with that, let me just tell you what. Step in your shower. It helps a little bit. Maybe you can close the door and nobody else can hear you and turn on the water. But there's something about the acoustics in a shower. But we need to make that choice to sing praises, to use our voice as an instrument. It's a repetitive behavior, again, he's using there. Maybe the psalm that we read at the beginning of the service from Psalm 100. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all. You need something to be thankful for? Open your Bible to Psalm and read Psalm 100. It's full of things to be thankful for. We sing those things. But who is it that we're thankful to? This is a recipe of thankfulness, of thanksgiving to God. This is all to God, and it tells us there that I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. It's all to God, number one, for who he is. He is the creator and the designer. Saw a little short video of a man talking to a lady this week, and he asked her, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "No." He said, "So that you're an atheist?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Well, can I ask why?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "There's not enough evidence to prove that there's a God." He said, "Would you be willing to change your mind if I could show you that there's plenty of evidence?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Would you agree that if we see a building, that there was someone who built that building, whether they're still alive today or not? Would y'all all agree with that? The building we're in, the people who built it are probably no longer here, but do you believe that someone built this building?" She's like, "Yeah." He said, "If you see a painting, you know then that someone is an artist or someone painted that painting." And she said, "Yes." He said, "Then how is it that we can look around and see that something created this world that we live in? Look at a human life. Something had to design it. This thing works too perfect." He said, "It is scientifically proven, but you know, it also takes more thought to not believe that something created us, that something created the universe, and that something is greater than what's created." And you could see the wheel spinning. That's who we're thanking. That's who we're worshiping. That's a free tidbit. You can take it and use it. It's called apologetics, to prove that there is a God. She said, "Well, who created God?" He said, "God's outside of time. And guess what? That's why he is the great creator, because no one created him. He always has been." Well, we can also thank him for what he has done. Amen. There's something to thank him for who he is and then what he's done. And then it ends there with "O Most High." It says, in reference to the God of Israel, it says, understood as "O Most High," according to his exaltedness and his authority, something that is higher. And church, I'm here today to tell you that God is the Most High. He is the one that we praise. He is the one that we sing. There is none higher than him. His authority, his mightiness, his holiness, his design, his creator. So this morning, before I finish, I've still got another verse to share with you. I want us to practice putting this recipe together and singing to him. Let's just try this together for just a moment, a song or praise chorus that you might be familiar with. Will be up there on the screens. Let's just sing this together.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Let's give him glory.
I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
See, it's not that hard, is it? It's a choice that we make. It becomes who we are, and we can constantly do that. Out of the book of Hebrews, we read Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. How is it that we can be thankful? It says it right there at the beginning. Through him, in him, through Christ, what he's done for us. Remember, I began by giving you, said I was going to give you a recipe. I've given you four steps here. And oftentimes we cook for others in our family. Sometimes we just cook for others in general. I've seen my mom cook for others at a time of need, maybe a special occasion like a wedding or a funeral. I've even seen people, as I mentioned earlier, on TV cooking for very important people like a president or a celebrity. But even they are using a recipe to make it just right. They did not want any mistakes. The recipe I've given you today for you to use is not for a bride. It's not for a president. It's not even for a celebrity. It's for someone even more important. It's for a king. It's for the King of Kings. It's a recipe of thanksgiving to God Almighty. We need to memorize it, practice it, use it often, and become proficient at giving thanks to God. May you bow your heads this morning. Father God, thank you that, Lord, you gave us a recipe. Because, Father, I would have to admit to myself this morning that if I wanted to make something for you as holy and as mighty as you are within myself, I have nothing to offer. Wouldn't even know where to begin. I'd be too scared. But, Lord, I can confess that in your word, you give us a recipe, Father. You say what you're looking for. And, Father, you say that we do that through you because of who you are, because of what your Son has done. Father, as we embark this week on a week of Thanksgiving and thinking about Thanksgiving and time together with family and with friends, and, Father, I pray for those who don't have family or friends around, that, Father, Lord, that you would help us all to think about this. And, Father, may it be the choice that we say right now that regardless of anything, we will give thanks to you. And, Father, when may we make that choice now. Father, will you help us in the good times? Will you help us in the bad times? When you help us when everything's good, Father, help us when things are difficult. Help us in the light. Help us in the dark. But God, may we always sing praises to you. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. Father, thank you for who you are. Father, would you speak to hearts right now? I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are this morning. As you're standing, begin thinking, number one, if you want to praise God, the first thing you have to do is receive his Son as your Lord and Savior. I would be wrong if I never gave that invitation. If you're here today, today is the day to surrender, and boy, how your Thanksgiving's going to be different. Maybe you're here today and Holy Spirit has convicted you that you hadn't been thankful enough. You know, this has spoke to me because there's been a lot of times in my life where my attitude was a negative attitude. And that's not pleasing to him. Got to confess that. Maybe that's you this morning. Would you confess that to him? Let him heal you of that. If you want to come, I'm going to step down here. If you want me to pray with you this morning, if you want to praise and thank the Lord, if you want me to pray with you about something going on in your life, I'm going to be down. If you want to come around these altars as a time of thanksgiving and just worship Him, let's just take the next few moments and do that. Would you just respond to Him this morning? Father God, this morning we worship You. Lord, we thank You, we praise You for who all You are, for all that You've done. Lord God, it's all about You.